Today's daf is Menachas Daf Lamed Tes. Yesterday we started Perek HaTcheles, and we discussed at the very beginning of Perek HaTcheles whether the Tcheles is Ma'akev the Lavan and the Lavan is Ma'akev the Tcheles. The Shita of the Pashup Pshat in the Mishnah, the Shita of the Rabbanan, is that they are not Ma'akev each other. That without Tcheles you could still be Mekayim the Mitzvah of Lavan, without Lavan you could still be Mekayim the Mitzvah of Tcheles. Rebbe's Shita, however, was that they are Ma'akev each other, that you cannot be Yotzei the Mitzvah, and he reinterpreted the Mishnah. He understood, he's not necessarily against the Mishnah, the Gemara says. He understands that the Mishnah is talking about which string to put in the beged first, or if the strings get cut after you've already had both, whether the tzitzis are still kosher, but certainly that you need both. That is Rebbe's Shita. So I wanted to share with you an email that I got. I was cleaning out one of my old email address that I never ever check anymore, and I had over 3,000 emails over the last 10 months that I had to clean out, and as part of my Pesach cleaning, and one of them was from Dr. Baruch Sturman, who is one of the two guys in Eretz Yisrael, in Efrat, who does the tcheles, who has discovered and produces the tcheles that I wear and that many people wear. And he pointed out the following. He sent this email in November. I responded to it on Friday. But Baruch Hashem, Erev Shabbos, when we start Perek HaTcheles, I happened to come across this email. It was Siyata Deshmaya. So I gave a 10-minute halacha shir a while back about why one should or shouldn't wear tcheles, the arguments for and the arguments against. And the two arguments I made for wearing tcheles were that it's a mitzvah d'oraisa, so even if it's only a suffix, whether it's the right one or not, and that's obviously the most compelling argument. You have a suffix, you might be able to make a mitzvah d'oraisa, so why wouldn't you wear it? To be mekayim, at least it's at least a suffix. Even if you're not convinced by all the arguments, no one could 100% refute that it's tcheles. So it's at least a suffix. So that alone should justify wearing it. And the second argument that I pointed out was Rav Shechter's point based on the Turi Evin quoted by the Beis Halevi, that if you have the opportunity to do a mitzvah b'shleimusa and you choose to not do the mitzvah b'shleimusa, that's a violation of the iser baltigra of a los haseh baltigra. So when you didn't have tcheles, you didn't have the opportunity to do the mitzvah b'shleimusa, so it wasn't a violation of baltigra. But now that you have the tcheles, you have the opportunity to do a mitzvah b'shleimusa, and failure to do that would be a violation of a los haseh midaraisa of baltigra, and therefore if Shechter holds, and I asked him, does he really hold this halacha? Should I advise high school kids this as well? And he said yes, he 100% holds that if you're not going to wear tcheles, better not to wear tzitzis at all, because he holds that if you're wearing tzitzis without tcheles, it's a violation of baltigra lo sasei. If you don't wear tzitzis at all, you're just not doing the mitzvah sasei, but you're not in violation of lo sasei. Obviously not everyone holds that way, but that's Rav Shechter's opinion. So Dr. Sturman writes that I wanted to offer a few comments. You mentioned two reasons to wear tcheles. Namely, it may be tcheles, and since it's a mitzvah d'oraisa, we would say that even suffix justifies wearing it. And secondly, you could be over baltigra if you don't wear it. There is a third point, though, that you should also add to the list of pros, and this relates to yesterday's daf. He didn't write this relates to yesterday's daf. That's my. That is the position that tcheles is ma'akev es halavan. This comes in two flavors. The Bala Ma'or, who felt that even when there's no tcheles available, we paskin that tcheles is ma'akev. The Bala Ma'or paskins like Rebbe that tcheles is ma'akev the lavan. And therefore, the Balamar never wore tzitzis. He didn't have tcheles, so he felt that he couldn't wear tzitzis. Tcheles ma'akev v'lavan. So, and that's the brisker chumra, that they don't wear tzitzis in Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos. Because to be choshish for that shitas Balamar, that you're not mekayim the mitzvah, and therefore it's a masli that you're carrying in public. And it's less that's extreme, right? In its less extreme flavor, there are some, more than just the Balamar, who hold that if tcheles is available, then it becomes ma'akev. Meaning that it's not ma'akev when it's not available, but when it is available, it becomes ma'akev. Therefore, nowadays, if this tcheles is the correct one, wearing tzitzis without is a violation of wearing a four-corner beged without kosher tzitzis. A little bit different than Rav Shechter's Baltigra. This has been argued by Rav Shmuel Ariel in a recent volume of Truman. Okay, so that was point number one, that maybe the tcheles ma'akev is lavan is another reason to wear tcheles. Another point that he made, just parenthetically, as I mentioned in that shir, that Rav Shechter told me that he heard a story that the guys who produced the tcheles went to Rav Yashiv when they started producing it, and they presented their case, and that the story goes that Rav Yashiv was satisfied and was convinced that it was correct, and then he asked them, so if 100,000 people were to order tcheles tomorrow, what would happen? And they said, well, we couldn't satisfy that kind of demand, and obviously that demand would put the prices through the roof. And Rav Eliyashiv said, well, if I were to put on this tcheles, then you'd have 100,000 charedim tomorrow who ordered tcheles, and there are people who don't have food to put on the table, and I can't have them spending that kind of money. Just as a public policy, I can't do it. That was the story that went around. So Rav Shechter told me that story that he heard. He wasn't sure. He wasn't there, obviously. So Dr. Sturman writes that I have to say that I'm not sure that that story is true, meaning, and he is the guy who produces it, so that means if it wasn't with him, then it wasn't true. But maybe the idea could have had some validity, even if the conversation never actually took place, meaning that idea, that concern, is certainly a legitimate concern. However, he writes, and this is so fascinating, I speak in past terms regarding the validity of his concerns because I'm happy to report that the situation has improved. We spent the past 6 months, he writes 6 months ago, and upwards of $100,000 investing in a vast stock of dye to the point where we now have in the factory enough dye to produce at least 30,000 sets. We've also developed multiple channels for procuring the dye, so we're quite confident that if Am Yisrael is ready, we can produce 50,000 or more sets per year indefinitely. I can also say that were that to happen, we most certainly would be able to drop the price, as we are already doing. There has been a very strong upswing in interest, and we are averaging over 950 sets a month and growing. There are also quite a bit of serious gedolim we're starting to wear, and some of them publicly. There's one major Rosh Yeshiva I know of in the New York area who a few months ago, while he was reaching for something, his shirt came untucked and tcheles spilled out, and the Talmidim were, gasped in horror that he was actually wearing the tcheles. He was a little embarrassed. But anyway, that's the... Okay. Yeah, that's fine. Okay, shkayach. So this is just I wanted to follow up on that. We didn't get to say it in yesterday's daf shir. So let's go by. If you hold it's real tcheles, so that's a good question. So if you want to be mechanich, you want to be mechanich your children. Right, it's like giving them a celery and a lemon for dal minim. So it's a good question. So it's a good point. Unless you hold that the age of chinuch of the proper age. So the Gemara says is katan yadeilis atef is chayiv betzitzis yadeilish mar tefilah is chayiv in tefillin, means it has to be someone who's able to actually, the child has to be of age to actually take care of the item and not ruin the chepta shel mitzvah. Certainly my children have not proven themselves capable of protecting their tzitzis, let alone if there's tcheles, which the strings tend to be a little more fragile when they're tcheles, so it wouldn't last a day. That would be a very, well, a day maybe, but that would be a very, very challenging thing to have to go through that expense, on a weekly basis, which it is with their regular tzitzis. Okay, so but by the time they're bar mitzvah, certainly I plan on buying them tchelas.
It's on record now.
Yeah, Belina, I already have yonas. I already have yonas put away in my closet. I just have to tie them. Okay, maybe I will start him. He's old enough. Okay, so anyway. Where am I now? So we are three lines from the bottom of the page in Lamed Chesam Beis. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava Shemami Natsarich Likshar Al Kol Chulio V'Chulio. So Rava says, from this conversation we just had about when the tzitzis get cut, how much has to be left in order for it still to be kosher. So he said, you need to leave Kedei Aniva, enough to tie a slipknot with the remaining string of the tzitzis. So he says, from this discussion we see that you need a kesher by each chulio. The chulio are the segments on the chain of the tzitzis that you make with the knots that the minhag is, certainly for those who don't wear tchelos, the minhag is like Shitas Rashi ala Torah to have four segments with five knots that separate them. So you have to make a knot by each chulia, by each of those segments. Because if you hold that you don't need, that which the Bnei Rabbi Chia say, that the cut off pieces of tchelas, when your tzitzis get cut off, they're kosher, and that gardume ezov are kosher, well, keep the ishtari le'ilai, ishtari le'kula. If you only had one knot, and the strings got cut down to almost right there at the knot, so then it would completely unravel. The whole thing would fall apart, because if one knot unravels, they're all gonna unravel. So it must be that there are several knots, and that even if the top knot unravels, the other knots will not unravel. That must be the halacha. Therefore, it says Gemara, no, it's not a raya at all. Dilma de iktar. Maybe he's talking about a situation where you happen to have tied other knots. There's no iser of tying other knots. Maybe it's talking b'chiyah gavna that you tied other knots, but not that one is obligated to tie other knots. Via Marabba, Shmamina Kesher Elyon Da'oraisa. Rabba also says, we see from here that the Kesher Elyon, the top knot, is Da'oraisa. So what is Kesher Elyon? Says Rashi, a Kesher Elyon, Hainu Nam Yahu Kesher Limata. That is the Kesher Limata. What does that mean? It is the Kesher that is at the end of the Gedil that holds the whole thing together from falling apart. Meaning, when you tie the knots in sequence, if you tie five knots, the fifth knot, it's the one furthest away from the Beged. That is the Kesher Elyon. Tosos quotes another pshat, that maybe the Kesher Elyon means, no, if you wear the tzitzis, which one is highest up? The one that's closest to the Beged. So the Kesher Elyon means the one that's closest to the Beged. So Karen Or, but if you make the Kesher only at the end of the Gedil, and you don't make one at the beginning, then it wouldn't be, his raya is, it wouldn't be a violation of Klayim if you made one only at the end of the Gedil, not at the beginning. And the whole idea of Tzitzis, we're going to say, that we learn from the Psukim and Chumash, that you're not allowed to have Shatnes, but Gedilim Tasadcha, so we learn that Tzitzis, the Asay of Tzitzis, is Docha, the Los Asay of Shatnes. But that's assuming that there's a conflict, that in order to make kosher Tzitzis with wool strands, which you need for the Tchelis is dyed wool, on a linen garment, it's going to be shatnez. Well, why is it going to be shatnez if the Kesher Elyon is so far away from the Beged? That's not really tied on a Daraisa level, so it shouldn't be considered shatnez. So the Karen Ora wonders about that Raya. He says, what difference does it make how far the Kesher is from the Beged? If it's a permanent type of knot, if it's a strong type of knot, so then why should it matter how far it is away from the Beged? He also has that if Minatora, you're chayiv to make a Gedil, so Minatora, you have to obviously make two knots, one kesher samach l'knaf, one kesher that's close to the beged, and that's from the fact that the Torah is matir klayim b'tzitzis, and you need another knot, obviously, to hold it in place, because if you need to make a gedil, if you hold the kesher elyon as the kesher closest to the beged, by definition, you also hold that you need another kesher, because otherwise all those wrappings are going to fall apart without another kesher. So obviously you're going to need another kesher. Maybe that kesher is not so strong, because you could say, yeah, that second kesher to hold together may not be a kesher al gabe kesher. It may only be a single knot, not a double knot. But the requirement to make a double knot is not midah oraisa at the end of the gedil. Okay, so says the Gemara Vayter, diisal kadaitach to Rabbanon, that kesher elyon has to be daoraisa, because if you were to hold it to Rabbanon, my isrich lemishri sadin betzitzis. If making the knot was only to Rabbanon, then why do we need a drasha from the pasuk to allow shatness and tzitzis? Pshita, it should be obvious. Atokev tchifa achas enu chibur. If you just in general, when it comes to shatness, the rule is if you make one stitch with shatness, that's not considered a connection. So it would have to be through a kesher that the connection is created. So we see that on a daraisa level, the kesher elyon is daraisa, that you need to make that kesher on a daraisa level, period. Amar Rav Baravada, Amar Ravada, Amar Rav. Im nifsak achut meikaro psula. If the strand becomes severed, becomes cut at its base, then it's pasul. So Rashi writes that it means that the place where it's attached to the talus, the place where it's attached to the beged, it gets cut. So the Rashi explains that even meikaro might even mean when it, not right where it's attached to the talus, but it gets cut right after the gedilim, right after the gedil, but you don't leave enough, there's not enough of the string left to make a slip knot. That's what it might mean, me'ikaro. The Beis Yosef, when he quotes these shitos, sounds like they're not really arguing min adin, that either one would be considered nifsa kachut me'ikaro. The Karen Ora just wonders about Rashi, that what's the chiddush, that it's possible if you say that it's cut at the very base, Pashut, that chut no longer counts min aminyan. It's no longer one of the strands that are connected to the beged. At the very least, you need the four strings that are eight, right? The four folded over strings. So if it's cut mamish right at the very top, it's simply not connected to the beged, right? If it's before the first knot, it's cut. It's not at all connected to the beged. So what's the havamina that would be kasher? What's the big chiddush over here that it's pasul? So that's what you have to. So what the Karen Ora suggests, what you have to say is that one might have thought thought that that's still considered connected to the beged, because even that cut string is tied to the other strings through the whole gedil, and those other strings are tied to the beged, so that might be considered a close enough tie to the beged to be counted as part of the tzitzis. So that's why Rav comes along and tells us, no, that that's going to be pasul. Yes, Rav Nachman Mekamel HaShmaita. So Rav Nachman was saying over this teaching, Esvei Rav Rav Nachman. So Rav asked Rav Nachman, Bamed Var Mamurim Bitchilaso. When do you say that this is true, that it's going to be pasul? That's only if when you initially made it, it was severed. Aval sofo shira v'gardum of kol shehu. But afterwards, if it was fine for a while, and then just something got cut, so it's whatever's left over, and the cut off pieces, even if it's just a kol shehu, even if there's just a little bit there, that's okay. You have this concept sometimes, the difference between tchilaso and sofo, that when you initially make it, there's one standard. But if it had met that standard initially, then something had happened, it's still going to be kosher. That's clearly how Rashi understands the word b'tchilaso. If you look at Rashi, b'shas asiya, at the time that you made it, aval b'sofo, kigon im nifsak liachar zman, it snaps sometime later. Unclear exactly what the gedder is. How do you define liachar zman? After you've already been mekayim the mitzvah, maybe? After you've already put it on? Not 100% clear what the gedder is. Let's just see a little further. First, my shiar of my gardumav. What are the shirayim and gardumim? We say shirayim and gardumim are both kosher with kol shehu. So my lav shir of the ifsuk minayu vishtayr minayu gardumav di gardumi gardume. Doesn't shirayim mean that some of it was cut off? And some of it remained, and gardume means that it was completely severed, that it was completely cut off. So this is a kasha for the one that holds that nifsa kachut meikaro, that it's pasul, because over here you see that besofo, when it's nifsak, it's going to be kasher. Says marlo chada katani. No, it's all one case. Shiure garduma of kol shehu, the shirayim of that which is cut off just has to be a kol shehu. Velema garduma of shiar of lameli. So just use the word gardumim. Why do you have to say the word shirayim? Hakamashmalan to be inon shiura legardum of kedela anvan. No, what it's telling me is that you need a certain amount left over from that which is sliced off, namely kedela anvan. You need enough to be able to tie a slipknot, and then it's going to be kasher if you have that much tzitzis left after it gets cut off. How long should tzitzis be? How big should tzitzis actually be? So Shulchan Aruch writes that the length of the eight strings should not be pachos me arba gudlim. And he says, Yesh omrim shneim asar godlim. And he writes that one of the chutim has to be a little longer than the others in order to do all the krichos. Obviously, when you make tzitzis, if you ever made tzitzis before, in order to wind around one string around the rest, the way we set it up is that one of the strings is much longer than the others, so you'll be able to wind it around properly. Bir Alacha writes that if after you do the krichas chulia rishona, after you do the first chulia, that first set of the first set of winds around in the chain, so the Bir Alacha says, and you tie the knot on top of that, you have a shear of shnei masar goldim, even though once you continue to do all the other sets of winds, it's going to turn out to be less than shnei masar goldim. The Bir Alacha says it's still going to be kosher b'diavad, because all you really needed was that first one, and at that first one it was at the shear. It's lo garuah, he says, no worse than if a string would become cut. That would definitely be kosher midin gardumim. So this isn't cut. It's just wound more. It's knotted up. It's wound around. So that's no worse. It's got to be at least as good as that. And then he says, however, the Prima Gadim writes the opposite, that even b'di'eved you need shnei masar gudlim after all the kshiros and the krichos, after all the knots and all the windings. And it could be that he holds that so long as you're still osik in the mitzvah of making a shlish gedil, the way the ratio of tzitzis is supposed to work out is one third of the tzitzis, of the length of the tzitzis, is supposed to be the knots and the krichos, and two thirds are supposed to be the loose hanging strings. That was one of Rav Shechter's concerns initially before they adjusted for his shita. Rav Shechter holds, well, maybe we'll have a chance to discuss today, that with the Tcheles, that you have to make seven chulios, which means eight knots separated by seven chulios. I don't know how to how to say it, seven you know
Yes.
segments, and that each of those seven segments should have seven wines around. Now, if you take typical size strings and you do that, you're not going to have the ratio of the 1/3 to the 2/3. So he used to tell people, b'di'eved, make three wines around by each one instead of seven wines around by each one. Maybe we'll get to this far why that's so a little bit later. But they started making some string the strings a little bit longer to accommodate that shita lechatchila with the sevens. One of my sets of tcheles has only with the threes because it was when the strings were not yet. It was unavailable, or as far as I knew, it was unavailable to get those longer strings. Anyway, so that's so the Prima Gadim seems to understand that so long that as you're still making the Gedilim, so it's still not called a finished product. And once it's a finished product, that's when you need to have the 1/3, 2/3 ratio. That's when you need the Yud-Beis Gudlim. And if you don't have Yud-Beis Gudlim by the time when you're finished, then it's going to be possible. You need to have it when you're finished, so long as you're still osik in it. The Prima Gadim compares it, Berlecha compares it to like the Sugi and Shabbos about Tzitzin HaMakfin as a Mila. That so long as you're still osik in the Mila, the Tzitzin Shein HaMakfin rather is considered part of the Maisa of Mila. But once you're not osik in the Mila, the Tzitzin Shein HaMakfin are not considered the same Maisa, and therefore you're not allowed to go and cut those on Shabbos, but so long as you're still osik in the Mila, you're allowed to cut them even on Shabbos. Okay, weiter. Yosef Rav become Rishmei Derav. Chut shel krach olam in a minyan. The string that you use to tie the wines around the tzitzis, that counts toward the minyan, toward the number of eight strings. Amalei Rav Yosef, so Rav Yosef says, Shmuel Amrav, velo Rav. That isn't Rav who said that, that is Shmuel's Shita, not Rav. Itmar Nami, Amar Rav Abrachana, Sachli Rav Yoshia de Min Usha, and notice in the Masorah Sashas he adds, Mishmei de Shmuel, Chut Shel Krach, Olam Min HaMinyan, that we do in fact find that this was the Shita of Shmuel, that the Chut Shel Krach is Olam Min HaMinyan, the string that you use to wind around counts toward the eight strings. Yosef Rav Avakamer Mishmei de Shmuel, so Rav was saying in the name of Shmuel, Tcheles Shekarach Ruba Ksheira, Tcheles, where you, that most of it is Krichos, most of it is wound around, that's going to be Kosher. Amar Le Rav Yosef, Rav Amar Rav Lo Shmuel, so Rav Yosef says, no, that wasn't Shmuel, Rav is the one who said that. Itmar Nami Amar Rav Hunabar Yudah Amar Rav Sheshes Amar Rav Yemri Baraba Amar Rav, that it was in fact traced back to Rav making the initial statement that when you have tcheles, that's karach ruba, that you make 2/3 of it, let's say, gedil, and 1/3 anaf. That's how we relate to it. Normally, we said again, l'chadchila is supposed to have 1/3 the gedil, 1/3 of the knots and the segments, and 2/3 of the loose hanging strings. But let's say you do it rove the other. You flip the ratio. You have 2/3 gedil and only 1/3 enough. So that's going to be kasher. Rav is the one who said that it's still kasher b'di'evet. Rav Chiya b'reid Rav Nasan masni hachi. Rav Chiya b'reid Rav Nasan taught it as follows: Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Sheshes, Amar Rav Yirmi Baraba, Amar Rav tchela shakarach ruba kshera va'afilu lo karach ba eluchulia. Achas ksheira, and even if you only made a single chulia, it's kosher. Just a single segment, that's going to be kosher. V'noy tcheles, but the nicest way to make your tzitzis is shlish gedil v'shnei shlishei anaf. Like we kept on saying, 1/3 gedil, 1/3 of the length of the tzitzis should be comprised of the knots and the krichos, and 2/3 should be the loose hanging strings. V'kamashir chulia, how much is a chulia? Meaning, how much is each chulia, each segment? So Tanya, Rebbe Omer, kidei sheyichroch v'yishana v'yishalish. You need to have three winds minimally in each segment. You can't have any less than three windings around in each segment of your tzitzis. Tana apoches lo yivchos misheva v'amosif lo yosef al sholosh esrei. But we learned in a brisa that if you when you make the wines, you really shouldn't have less than seven, nor should you have more than 13. Where do those numbers come from? Hapoches lo yivchos misheva k'neged shiva rukiyim. Shouldn't have less than seven. That relates to the seven heavens. V'amosif lo yosef al sholosh esrei k'neged shiva rukiyim v'shish avirin shebeinehen. And the maximum number of 13 relates to the seven rukiyim and the six air spaces in between the seven heavens, in between the seven skies. What? So we'll get to that in a second. So Tana kshu maskil maskil belavan haknaf min knaf ukshu mesayim mesayim belavan malim bekodesh lo maridin. The only thing is, when you tie the tcheles, you have to make sure that the first one is white, because haknaf min knaf, so the one closest to the knaf, hakanaf min kanaf, the one closest to the kanaf habeged, to the corner of the beged, has to be white, because the beged itself is white. And the last one has to be white, because since the Torah speaks about the white before the tcheles, we assume the white is more chashivos, and therefore Malan B'Kodesh, we go up in Kedusha by having the white one serve as the last one. What happened to Malan B'Kodesh by starting with the white and then you're going to do tcheles? Well, you have no choice. Hakanaf min kanaf. You have to do that. That overrides the Malan B'Kodesh consideration, because it's clear in the Torah that you're supposed to have white first. So, but at the end, remember we had that machlokas we showed him yesterday, when Rebbe understands our Mishnah, that it's about la'akadume, which one to put in first. So what does it mean, which one first? So Rashi understood which one to stick in the beged first, the white or the tchelas. So you're supposed to put the white in the beged first. But others said, no, it means which one to wind around first, based on this Gemara. That the first one, hakanaf min kanaf, tells me, the first winding has to be with white, and the last one also has to be with white. So this is a very fascinating Gemara. First of all, it seems to be a steerer from one line to the next. First, the Gemara says, you need a minimum of three winds. And then it says, okay, no less than seven. Well, what do you mean? Minimum of three. Three is less than seven last time I checked. So that's what's a major machlokas rishon and what the Gemara means by no less than seven. Does it mean no less than seven wines in each chulia? Or does it mean no less than seven chulios? That you should have at least seven chulios. So that is the discussion, the Rishonim, and that's where Rav Shechter gets his shita from, that you should have seven chulios, to be choshesh for both shitos, and each of the seven chulios should have seven krichos, to be choshesh for both opinions. Now, the Sefer Divrei Elio quotes in the name of the Gra, that it always has to be 39 krichos, four chulios of 7, 8, 11, 13. That's the Shita Sagra. The Rav Shechter just writes in Ginas Egos, in Simon Beis, in his third sefer, Ginas Egos, Al Pipshuto Hu Tzarech Iyun Gadol, that the Shita of the Gra, Pasha Pshad, is very difficult to understand. The Issa B'Gemara Menachos, Lamatesa B'Alef, because Gemara Menachos, our daf, says, Shapoches Le'ivchos Misheva, that you should always have no less than seven, and most of Lo Yosef Al Yugimli, you should never have more than 13. And like we said, Machlokas Rishonim, what that means, whether it's going on the Mispar HaKrichos, or in the Mispar HaChulios. Are we talking about the wines within each segment, or the number of segments? So most of the Rishonim understand that it's going on the Chulios, that it's going on the segments, that you need to have at least that many segments. So before we found Tcheles, why is no one knowing that way? No one makes seven, because Tosfos points out right over here, first he says, the reason why we associate this with the number of skies is because the Tcheles is supposed to remind us of the sky, so it's a tcheles connected thing, these numbers, because it relates to the sky. It's not just a lavan related thing. These numbers are much more related to the tcheles than they are to the lavan. And that's why we who don't have tcheles, Tosfos says, we're not makbid about this. If you don't have tcheles, then these numbers aren't that important. All of these numbers are sky related. Sky is tcheles related. So that's why we're not knowing to be makbid about this. But that's why you'll see that the people who wear the tcheles always have different ways of tying it than the classical way of tying the lavan. The way that people tie the lavan, we rely just on what Tosfos says, that we're not so makbid about doing it 100% correctly, so we just follow what it says in Rashi and Chumash, this nice idea of the five and the eight, the eight strings and the five knots, and the gematria of tzitzis being 600, so that's a gematria of 613, and that's what we do. But once you have the tcheles, then we need to be a little more medaktik in exactly how to do it. So that's what this Gemara, and how you understand this Gemara is going to play a major role. Another issue is you'll notice a lot of people have tcheles. If you look in the pictures, the tcheles people sent out a very nice little pamphlet. So they have pictures of all the different ways, not all different ways of tying, but many of the different ways of tying. It would take several pages probably to have all the different ways of tying. A lot of them don't have real knots in between the chulios. So that's a question also. Is it necessary in between each chulia to have a kesher al gabe kesher? So Rav Shechter says, he doesn't see why it should change, why it should be any different. So in his way of tying it, there is a real knot, a legitimate kesher al gabe kesher in between each of the chulios, because there's no reason, he doesn't see any reason why that should be any different than our minhag. So again, so he holds lechachil, it should be, Rav Shachter holds lechachil, it should be 7 of 7. However, he says, Achar be pa'amim, ein achutim dayaruchim lasos memtes krichos yachan, memtes zayim ksharim. He says, at the end of the day, a lot of the strings are not going to be long enough to make 49 wines with 16 knots, meaning 8 times kesher al gabe kesher, and therefore lechachil ben anachon, sheyechelek hakrichos kishlish me'aruch achutim. But like we said, the gedil is supposed to be 1/3 of the length of the whole tzitzis, so He says, so then make the first one with 7 and the remaining ones with 3 on each one, because make radin, one chulia done correctly is kasher. So make one that's 100% kasher, then the rest you could be somik on the shita that 3 krichos is good enough for each chulia, and you'll make 7 chulios in that way. Okay. Now, again, machlokas rishonim, what the Gemara means also over here by making the first and the last lavan. Does that mean only the first kricha, or maybe the first 3 krichos all need to be lavan? So that's also an interesting discussion in the rishonim. Okay, we're not going to have time to really get into it now, though. So let's go weiter. I believe we're up to, 3 lines from the bottom. Rav and Rabba Bar Bachana, v'yasvi, Rav and Rabba Bar Bachana were sitting, they were sitting around, have a kachala fa'azil hu gavra, d'michsi glima d'kula t'chilta. And a guy walked by them who was wearing a garment that was made out of entirely t'cheles. V'ramile t'chilta, and he had tzitzis on that garment. T'chilta in that context means just tzitzis. That's where Rashi points out. It doesn't mean t'cheles per se. Tzitzis. He had tzitzis on his garment that was made completely of t'cheles. Good. Amar Rav, ya'i glimav lo ya'i t'chilta. So Rav says, his glima is good, but his t'cheles is no good. So Rav, meaning his tzitzis is no good. The garment is good, but I don't like the tzitzis because mishum de'ein ba'anaf, because the way it was made was gedila migdal, it was all knotted. The whole thing was knotted. There was no 2/3 of strings hanging loosely. So he says, I don't like the way he did the strings. So because there's no loose strings. Rav Bar Bachana Amar Yoy Glima V'Yoy Tchilta. Rav Bar Bachana says, no, it's all good. The glima is good. The tchelis is good. It's all fine. So Micah Miflegi, what are they arguing about? Rav Bar Bachana Savar Ksiv Gedil Uksiv Psil. Rav Bar Bachana says, well, the Torah says two contradictory things. On the one hand, it says Gedil, which is a knotted part, the knotted and the chulios part, and it also says psil, which sounds like loose hanging strings. So what do you do when the Torah tells you two things that seem opposite from each other? So well, we know, we read in the Yud Gimel Lidush HaTorah Nidreshet, one of the things is, when you have Shneksum HaMachishim Zeh, you wait at Shiyavah Kosva Shlishi V'Yachriya B'Nehem. That's really great if there is a Kosva Shlishi HaMachriya B'Nehem. What if there isn't, and you just have two contradictory statements? Then what do you do? So the halach is, O Gedil, O Psil, the Torah must be giving you options. You could either have loose hanging strings, or you could have Gedil, and therefore if you have it all knotted, that's fine, the Torah is giving you options. Very similar to the sugya where the Gemara discusses, when it comes to the Yom Tov Shavuos, is it supposed to be Lashem, or is it supposed, Yom Tov in general, is it supposed to be Lashem, a day Lashem, or is it supposed to be Lachem? So the Torah says Lashem, the Torah says Lachem. Which is it supposed to be? Are you supposed to spend your day in prayer and Torah, or are you supposed to spend your day enjoying the Su'uda and Lachem, enjoying delicious foods? So it's Machlokas in the Gemara over there. Either the Torah is telling you options, O Kulo Lachem, O Kulo Lashem, which would fit very nicely with Rav Bar Bachana over here. The Torah is giving you options, either Gedil or Psil, do whichever one you want. Or like Rav Sever Liolam Psil Beinan, you have to have some way of mixing it up, of having both. So that's why we say that Chetzi LaHashem, Chetzi LaChem. So if you're also Rav Sever Liolam Psil Beinan, you do need Psil. Gedilim l'minyanahu da'asa. The word gedilim can be translated in some other way. Not that it's telling me you need both, but that it means something else. Gedilim is telling me the number of strings you actually need. Because gedil means to braid. You can't braid with any less than 2. 2 is a minimum. So had it just said the word gedil, I would already know 2 strings. Gedil, shnayim. Gedilim, once it says gedilim, so it's 2 times gedil, arba'a. That makes 4 strings. I say gedil, upasleu mitocho. So you make a gedil, and the psil should come from within it. The meaning the psil that you use to wind around the rest of the gedil, should it counts as part of that gedil, counts as one of those eight strings or one of those four big strings that are folded over to make eight. Good. So that's how they have a machlokas about the guy who was wearing a beged that was old chelas, but the main point was that he was wearing tzitzis that were completely knotted up. Period. Amr Shmuel Shmei de Levi. If you have wool strings, that works for a linen garment. Can you put linen strings on a wool garment? Now, you have a wool garment, your tcheles is obviously going to be wool. So that's not the issue. The issue is the lavan. Can the lavan be linen strings and work on a wool garment? Are you allowed to do that lechachila, to make shatness when it wasn't really necessary? When you have a linen garment, you have no choice. It has to be shatness. Obviously, you need the tcheles to be there. Tcheles is wool, so of course it's going to be shatness. So that is why the Torah tells us, Sasei docha lo sasei, that kedilin tasavcha is docha the isra of shatness. Fine. But what about in the opposite situation? When you have a wool garment, are you allowed to lechachila put in white linen strings in a wool garment? So, what are the two tzadim? Tzemer b'shal pishtim u'depatar. Should we say tzemer will work on a beged of pishtim because the kivin d'tcheles patra lava nami patar? That since you're allowed to put in the wool strands of tcheles, you have to be allowed to put in the wool strands of lavan as well. Aval pishtim b'tzemer lo, but maybe pishtim and tzemer will not work, meaning to use pishtim strings on a wool garment maybe is no good, because there's no necessity to do it. Al dilma, kivin d'chsiv, lo silba shatnes, tzemer pishtim yachtav, gedilim ta'asalucha, lo shon tzemer pishtim, lo shon pishtim b'tzemer. Or maybe since the Torah says that you should not wear shatnes, tzemer pishtim yachtav, and you should make tzitzis, so we see that tzitzis is docha, the yisr of shatnes. And I don't care whether the beged is pishtim, the beged is tzemer, it doesn't make a difference. That the tzitzis is docha the losa sev shatnes. So that's the question. Tashma Agmar says, let's go bring a raya. Dama Rachva Amrav Yehuda. Chutei tzemer potrin b'shal pishtan, v'shal pishtan potrin b'shal tzemer. The strings of tzemer exempt the pishtan, and the strings of pishtan exempt the tzemer. Chutei tzemer u'pishtim potrin b'kol makom, v'afil b'shiratin. And strings of tzemer and pishtim pater any beged, even a silk beged. Upliga de Rav Nachman, and this is against Rav Nachman. Dam Rav Nachman Ashura and Peturim and Tzitzis. Rav Nachman believes that a silk baguette is completely patur from tzitzis, doesn't even require tzitzis. So Esvi, Rav Rav Nachman, Rav asks Rav Nachman, how can you say that? Hashira in Vaklach Vasrikin. We have a brice that says explicitly that she wrote in that silk garments are chayv and tzitzis. How can you tell me that they're pots from tzitzis? So Rav Nachman will say, mitrabanan. Yeah, they're chayv and tzitzis, but only mitrabanan. This raises the major discussion in the Rishonim about what about non-wool beged? Is it chayv and tzitzis on a daraisa level? This is the sugya. This is the sugya where we discuss, and that's a major discussion in the Rishonim and Achronim. Even if you want to be machmir, to always wear a wool beged for those shitos, to be machmir for those shitos, passing like the mechaber passing this way, that only a wool beged is chayv midaraisa. What about in the summertime when it gets very hot and you would never really wear such a beged, so it's not really functioning as a normal beged because it's extremely uncomfortable? Is that still a kiyum daraisa of having a wool beged? Or maybe in that situation, better off doing the drabanan with a cotton beged. So anyway, that's a major question. We're not gonna have time today, but we'll see. So says the Gemara, if it's only midrabanan, ema seifa v'kulan tzemer u'pishtim potrin behen. The seifa says that all different types of begadim, tzemer u'pishtim, strings of tzemer u'pishtim, work on them. So yeah, b'shlam adar raisa, if you're going to tell me that it's on a dar raisa level, haynu d'mishtar b'klayim. That's why you can use some strings of tzemer and some of pishtim on this silk beged, because it's chayv dar raisa and tzitzis, and anything that's chayv dar raisa and tzitzis, you could do shatness with. So even though you're making shatness with the strings themselves, that's okay, because the beged is chayv dar raisa. But ali amrit rabbanon, if you hold the beged of silk is only chayv mit rabbanon anyway, well then hechim ishtar bu klayim. How do we allow using tzemer upishtim in the strings that you tie on this beged? That's creating shatness midaraisa on a beged that's only chayv and tzitzis midrabanan. When does the Torah tell us asei docholos? I say that's only when you have an asei doraisa of making tzitzis midaraisa, but if it's only chayv midrabanan, how could you be docha the los asei of shatness? So ema o tzemer o pishtim. He says, no, you're misreading the braisa. The braisa doesn't mean you should use strands of tzemer and pishtim on the baguette of silk. It means you can use one or the other. O tzemer o pishtim. Hachi nami mistavra, and this mistavra to say that way as well. The Katani Seifa, the Seifa says, Hein b'minon potrin, shelo b'minon ein potrin. They, tzemer and pishtim, I'm sorry, they, silk strings, let's say, would work for their own min, would work on a silk beged, but it would not work on non-silk begadim. So here I'm Bishlam Midrabanan. If you say that the whole chiv is only Midrabanan, hainu demifterum biminan, then I understand why you're allowed to use silk strings. Because a silk beged is only chayv Midrabanan anyway, so the Rabbanan allowed the silk strings. El yamata rais, let's say, amru pishlam udapatar. But if you hold that silk beged is chayv Midrabanan, so shouldn't you need the real legitimate strings, the tzemru pishtim strings? Why are you allowed to use silk strings on a beged that's chayv midor rice and tzitzis? So that's a raya, therefore, that the beged of silk must only be chayiv midirabanan. Says Gemara Mishum Halo Iria. If that's your raya, it's not, that doesn't bother me so much. Kidarava, because maybe we're assuming like Rava. The Rava Rami, Rava asked the following stira. Ksiv hakanaf min kanaf. On the one hand, the pasuk says you're supposed to make the strings the same min as the beged, and on the other hand, it says tzemer upishtim haketzad. So, what din is that teaching me? Tzemer upishtim potrin bein b'minan bein shelo b'minan. If you have tzemer upishtim strings, they work on any type of beged: a cotton beged, a linen beged, a wool beged, a silk beged, anything. Sharminim, but strings made out of, let's say, cotton or silk, b'minon potrin, shelo b'minon ein potrin, will only work on a beged that's made out of the same thing. So cotton strings will work on a cotton beged. They're not going to work on a beged that is not the same min. Again, even if you hold the cotton beged as chayv midal raisa, the only kinds of strings that would, the cotton strings would only work on a cotton beged. Tzemer upishtim could work on a cotton beged also, because tzemer upishtim work for everything. But the strings that are made out of anything but tzemer upishtim will only work on a beged made out of that same material. From Nachman, or Nachman who holds that no, other begadim are only chayv midrabanan, he would say, k'detan debei Rabbi Shmuel. He would hold like the Tan debei Rabbi Shmuel. The Tan debei Rabbi Shmuel, how will the nemru begadim batara stam, upir l'cha akasa be'echan mehen tzemer upishtim, I've called tzemer upishtim. Since the Torah uses the word begadim stam when it describes the mitzvah of tzitzis, that you're supposed to put tzitzis al kanfei bigdehem on your beged, and in one place when the Torah describes a beged, how does it say? It says that the beged is tzemer or pishtim. So that's megala, that whenever the Torah uses the term beged is always limited to tzemer or pishtim, even for the mitzvah of tzitzis. That's from Nachman Shita, that only tzemer or pishtim is chayiv and tzitzis mida oraisa. That happens to go against another Tana de Rabbi Shmuel. The Tana de Rabbi Shmuel beged in the yellow beged semer. Minayin l'rabbis semer gemal semer anavim v'notz shalizim v'akelch v'asrikah v'ashiroyin minayin. How do I know that it's not only wool, but even camel wool or rabbit wool or goat feathers or all these other different types of silk? How do I know that they're also chayiv and tzitzis mida o raisa? Tamalomar o beged. That's why the pasuk says o beged. So major machlokas. Rava and Rav Nachman over here in the Gemara, whether all different types of begadim are chayiv and tzitzis midaraisa, or only tzemer upishtim begadim are chayiv midaraisa, all other begadim elsewhere are not chayiv midaraisa. Major machlokes in the Rishonim had a paskin. The Ram Hilchasitz Paragimel Alacha based paskin like Rav Nachman, that only tzemer upishtim are chayiv midaraisa. Tosus and Menachos over here writes that Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam hold like Rava, because Rava is the Basra'a and Hilchasak Basra'a. Beis Yosef says that even though the Rush agrees with Rashi and Tosos, and there are many Amoraim that disagree with Rav Nachman, since the Rambam and the Rif paskin like Rav Nachman, Beis Yosef says, we paskin like Rav Nachman too, only a beged of tzemer upishtim is chayiv midar reis, and therefore in Shulchan Aruch Simen Tes Seif Aleph, he paskins explicitly, only tzemer upishtim are chayiv and tzitzis midar reis. But the Rama says that we Ashkenazim follow the sheet of the Rush, who follows the sheet of Rava, that if you wear cotton tzitzis, you are being mekayim a mitzvah da'oraisa, not only a mitzvah midrabanan. So Ashkenazim paskin that even other begadim are chayiv and tzitzis on a da'oraisa level. Okay, maybe we'll start with a further discussion of that tomorrow.